الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على افضلهم وخاتم النبيين محمد الامين وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين اما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى كما ورد في سورة التوبة اور سورة البرات اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم براءتم من الله ورسوله الى الذين عاهدتم من المشركين فسيحوا في الارض 14 واعلموا انكم غير معجز الله وان الله مخزي الكافرين واذان من الله ورسوله الى الناس يوم الحج الاكبر ان الله بريء من المشركين ورسوله فان تبتم فهو خير لكم وَإِن تَوَلَّيْتُمْ فَاعْلَمُوا أَنَّكُمْ غَيْرُ مُعْجِزِ اللَّهِ وَبَشِّرِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ صدق الله العظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي اللهم ربنا الهمنا رشدنا واعذنا من شرور انفسنا اللهم ارنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وارنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى آمین یا رب العالمین. فی دین مف اللہ سبحانہ و تعالی وجل و علا اینڈ انووکنگ اینڈ آسکنگ ہز ہیلپ وی آر اسٹارٹنگ اور اسٹڈی آف سورۃ البرات اور سورۃ التوبہ. اٹ ہیز ٹو نیمز. دس سورا از آف اے ویری پیکیولر نیچر ان دی ہول آف دی قرآن اینڈ اے فیو تھنگز مسٹ بی انڈرسٹوڈ بفور گوئنگ ٹو دی ٹرانسلیشن اینڈ سم ایکسپلینیشنز about the ayat of the surah al-mubarakah. The advent of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was twofold or two-pronged, as you may call it. The one aspect of his advent, to that we can call al-bi'satul khassa, that is, he was sent for the people living in the Arabian Peninsula, who claimed to be following Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam, who were either from the progeny of Ismail alayhi salatu wassalam, or they were subordinates to them. He himself belonged to that community. هُوَ الَّذِي بَعَثَ فِي الْأُمِّيِّينَ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُ. So that was his special assignment. The second assignment, second advent of his, second aspect of his advent, that is for the whole of humanity, for all times to come, till the doomsday. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا كَافَّةً لِلنَّاسِ بَشِيرًا وَنَذِيرًا. Now these two things are very distinct. And you know, if you don't understand the difference between the two, a few issues that are discussed in this surah cannot be understood. All the responsibility regarding the first birsa, al-birsatul khassa, he accomplished himself in about 20 years' time. He brought about a total revolution, changed everything in the Arabian Peninsula, eliminated shirk, annihilated kufr, and the deen of Islam became dominant over the whole of the Arabian Peninsula. But for the second aspect of his advent, al-Baisatul Amma, please note, he only initiated the process in the later years of his life. Then it was handed over to the Ummah to accomplish it and complete it. Now the first important result is that because he had a special assignment, special advent to the pagan Arabs, to the idolaters who claimed to be following Ibrahim and who were the progeny of Ismail, and because he was from among them, just as we have been reading, إِلَىٰ عَادٍ أَخَاهُمْ هُودًا إلى ثمود أخاهم صالحا إلى مدين أخاهم شعيبا In the same way, he was from among them. هُوَ الَّذِي بَعَصَ فِي الْأُمِّيِّينَ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ Speaking their language. And the revelation came to him in their language. Therefore, at the end and at the accomplishment of his first assignment, no concession was given to these people. There was only two alternatives. Either embrace Islam or you will be eliminated. No concession. Because what happened to the people of Nuh? Rejected? Weren't they annihilated? What happened to people of Hud? The nation of Ad in this very peninsula, in the southern part. They rejected Hud and were annihilated. So on that basis, there was no third option given. This was the final installment of the punishment from Allah to these people and the worst humiliation to which they were put. I told you the first installment of punishment, Ghazwatul Badr. 70 of their chiefs lying dead. And the final installment, the worst humiliation, challenge, open ultimatum. You are given 4 months or the like. After that, فَإِذَنْ صَلَخَ الْأَشْهُرُ الْحُرُمُ فَقْتُلُوا الْمُشْرِكِينَ حَيْثُ وَجَدْتُمُوهُمْ Kill these mushrikeen wherever you find. This was the punishment in a different form. As the punishments to the former nations, but not in one form, always. Different forms of punishment. Fir'aun and his chiefs and his army taken out and drowned in the sea. 70 chieftains from Quraysh taken out, killed at Badr. And then the total humiliation to which they were put. This we may call the mopping up operation in the military terminology. In the Arabian Peninsula. As for the second aspect of his advent, a third alternative was also given to the Jews, to the Christians, and for that matter to all of humanity. Either embrace Islam or accept to pay jizya, accept the supremacy of the Islamic social order. State. Or you come to the field and let us decide the matter this way or the other. This alternative was given. Not to the Ummiyin. Why? Because Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, being one of them in their own language, had conveyed to them fully the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Other people can have some difficulties in understanding him. A barrier of language. Maybe they feel he is an alien person. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives due consideration to all these things. That is the basic difference. Now, please keep in mind the historical background. For about 18 years, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was fully engrossed in accomplishing and fulfilling the requirements of the al-wirsatul khas. Didn't send any muballigh outside Arabia. He could do it. When wahi started coming to him, he was quite a well-to-do person. He had a lot of money with him. The wealth of Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha was at his disposal. He could hire some persons and send the letter to Heraclius or to the emperor of Persia. No. For 18 long years. 12 at Makkah, another 6 at Medina. He was engrossed fully in fulfilling the responsibilities of the Al-Wirsatul Khassah, a special assignment to the people of Arabian Peninsula. Now, the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, just imagine why Quran puts so much emphasis on this. We think that the victory of Makkah was more splendid, more important. In the books on Sirah, you will find, you know, a very big chapter on it. But in Quran, you find something absolutely contrary to that. He doesn't even mention the victory of Makkah. He calls the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, Inna fatahna laka fatham mubina. That was actually representing that his mission is accomplished in the Arabian Peninsula. When the Quraysh were compelled to recognize him that he is a power to reckon with, then they made a treaty with him, they accepted. And they were the chiefs. Although there was no formal government in the Arabian Peninsula, but politically, economically, religiously, they were the chiefs. So Sulh Hudaybiyah actually marks the fulfillment. But after this, now this is a two-pronged process, the rest of the 4 years, you may call them. In the Arabian Peninsula, still some work was to be done. In the 7th year, after Hijrah, the most strong fortified position of the Jews in the Arabian Peninsula smashed. Khaybar conquered. In the 8th year after Hijrah, Makkah conquered. And in the 9th year, started the mopping up operation. Cleans this peninsula from all forms of shirk and kufr. If there are any centers, remnants of any resistance, they must be washed off. And on the other hand, now he wrote the letters. Before the 6th year, 7th year, after Hijrah, no letter, no emissary, no muballir outside peninsula. But after the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, in the 7th year, now he's sending emissaries. A letter to Heraclius, the castle, the emperor of Rome. Letter to the emperor of Persia. Letter to Mokokos of Alexandria in Egypt. Letter to Nagus in Abyssinia, and so on and so forth. That was the initiation of his process beyond the peninsula. Initiation of the responsibilities of his al-Baisatul Ammah outside the peninsula. He initiated the process. What happened, that I shall inshallah discuss later on. But you can have two things. Due to these letters, first battle of Mota, and the second then the journey to Tabuk. And that was the last. Now, if you keep these two things in mind, now please note that the first 37 ayat of this surah, they discuss the culmination and the accomplishment and the final stages of the fulfillment of the special assignment of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the Arabian Peninsula. That is why victory of Makkah, not under that title, that is also discussed. And then the final ultimatum. Bara'atun min Allahi wa rasulihi lal-lazina ahadtum min al-mushrikeen. Now you have no alternative, no third alternative. Either embrace Islam within a specified period or you will be put to sword. Open. No hesitation. No mincing of words. And you should not also be apologetic for that matter. These are the words of Quran. فَقْتُلُوا الْمُشْرِكِينَ حَيْثُ وَجَدْتُمُوا. But the rest of the surah, from the 38th ayat to the end, that concerns, you know, the second aspect of his advent, and that is al-Bi'thatul Ammah. So that is why the time of revelation of these two parts is very important to keep in mind. And you know, there is a complication also, and I will tell you why. Ayat from 1st to 6th, and then again from 25 to 37, they were revealed in Zikada of 9th year of Hijri calendar. Ayat from 7 to 24, they were revealed much earlier, in the 8th year of the Hijri calendar, before the victory of Makkah. But the rest of the surah, Ayah 38 till the end, it was all revealed through the months of Rajab to Shawwal of the 9th year of Hijri calendar. Some of it before commencing the journey towards Tabuk. Some ayat revealed during the journey towards Tabuk. Some ayat revealed during the stay at Tabuk. Some ayat revealed during the journey back home. And some ayat after the Prophet ﷺ and the believers reached back Medina. There's about 3 months, 2-3 months, starting from Rajab, ending with Shawwal. So this was the expedition. And during that expedition, these ayat from 38 to 129 were revealed. Now the complication is that the ayat from 7 to 24, they were revealed 1 year before the first 6 ayat. But these first 6 ayat, which should be with the ayat 25 to 37, they have been taken out. Why? This is a special style of the Quran, which I referred to last night also. We found, you know, in Surah Al-Anfal, the most important issue was taken, first of all, يَسَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْأَنْفَالِ, and then the discussion. In the same way, these 6 ayahs were very crucial, very important. If you keep in mind the political background of the peninsula, they were pronounced at the Hajj of 9th year of Hijri calendar. And they were revealed when? When the Hajj caravan had already left under the Imara and leadership of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, the Prophet didn't go himself. And till that year, the Mushrikeen and Kuffar were also allowed to perform Hajj. This is also a very important point to note. You know, the practical wisdom of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Makkah was conquered in the 8th year, in Ramadan. He could have made pilgrimage. Did he do? No. Number 2, he left the affairs of Hajj in the hands of the Mushrikeen. They managed the affairs as they used to manage. In the 9th year again, he didn't go. In the 9th year also, Muslims also performed Hajj, and the Mushrikeen and Kuffar also performed Hajj, according to their tradition. So it was again a mixed Hajj, although Makkah had been conquered more than a year before. But you know, the gradual takeover. So he didn't go himself. 300 people from Medina had left for Makkah under the leadership of Hazrat Abu Bakr when these 6 ayats were revealed. Then the Prophet ﷺ sent Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, go. And you will have to proclaim on my behalf. And these ayat were read out at Mina also, at Arafat also, by Hazrat Ali. It's a very interesting incident which took place. When Hazrat Ali reached, because a caravan of 300 that was moving slow, Hazrat Ali was swift, so he could overtake them. So that caravan was somewhere camping. When the news came, Ali has come. He was not to come. How has come? Abu Bakr didn't know what had happened behind him. Now when Ali went to see Abu Bakr meet him, the first question that was asked by Hazrat Abu Bakr, Amirun aw Mamurun? Have you been sent as Amir or Mamur? I must know before talking to you. If you are the Amir, you come this side. I go to that side. If you are Mamur, I must know that you are Mamur. And the answer was, Mamur. Look to the sense of organization that the Prophet ﷺ had cultivated. We don't talk to each other before, knowing the position. Amirun or Mamur? And he said, Mamurun. But only this special assignment, because it was the custom of the Arabian people, that such an important announcement could be made only by a very close relative of the Prophet, from his own family, his own cousin. So he made the announcement, but whenever this announcement was made, Abu Bakr was there, sitting between, or standing, on one side Ali, on the other Abu Huraira, radiallahu ta'ala anhum, and Ali proclaiming. So these are the six ayat. Now please start this regular study. Bara'atun min Allah wa rasulihi lalladhina ahadtu min al-mushrikeen. This is an open declaration of acquittal from Allah and His Messenger to those of the associators with whom you, O believers, have covenanted or made any treaties. All treaties stand abrogated. But there are three types, and they are going to be discussed one by one. Fasihu fil ardi arba'at ashhurin. You can move about in the land, in this peninsula, for 4 months. وَعَلَمُوا أَنَّكُمْ غَيْرُ مُوَجِزِ اللَّهِ. And be it known to you, you can't defeat Allah. Don't try to resist. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ مُخْزِي الْكَافِرِينَ. And be it known to you that Allah is going to humiliate those who rejected the faith, who rejected Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَعَذَانٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ لَلنَّاسِ يَوْمَ الْحَجِّ الْأَكْبَرِ. And it's a proclamation from Allah and His Messenger on the day of the greater pilgrimage. Now there's a very wrong notion about Hajj al-Akbar. People think that if Arafah is on Friday, it is Hajj al-Akbar. Nonsense. Hajj al-Akbar is Hajj. Hajj al-Asghar is Umrah. So actually, it has no special significance if Arafah falls on Friday or Thursday or any other day. No special. وَعَذَانُ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ لَلنَّاسِ يَوْمَ الْحَجِّ الْأَكْبَرِ أَنَّ اللَّهَ بَرِيءٌ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ وَرَسُولُهُ. Very clear terms. Allah is acquitted, has nothing to do with any of the treaties with the mushrikeen who are associating other gods to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَإِن تُبْتُمْ فَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. So if you repent, return, accept the deen, this is better for you. وَإِن تَوَلَيْتُمْ. And if you turn away, فَعَلَمُوا أَنَّكُمْ غَيْرُ مُعْجِزِ اللَّهِ. Then let it be known to you clearly. You cannot frustrate Allah. You cannot defeat Allah. You cannot outwit Allah. You cannot outcome Allah, overcome Allah. وَإِن تَوَلَّيْتُمْ فَعَلَمُوا أَنَّكُمْ غَيْرُ مُوجِزِ اللَّهِ وَبَشِّرِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. And oh, our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, give these unbelievers the glad tidings of a very painful torment. Now this 4 months period was given to those with whom there was treaty but no specified time. A general treaty. So it's very logical that the abrogation of the treaty should not be instantaneous. Some time must be given. 4 months. Now is the case of those people with whom, those tribes with whom there was a treaty with a specified period for 2 years. For example, 1 year, whatever it can be. So, this is now their case. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ أَحَدْتُ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَنْقُصُوكُمْ شَيْئًا. Except those of the mushrikeen with whom you had a treaty, covenant, that is, for a fixed time. ثُمَّ لَمْ يَنْقُصُوكُمْ شَيْئًا. And then they had not did anything wrong in their treaties. They fulfilled all the obligations, honestly, sincerely. They are abiding by all the conditions, terms and conditions of the treaty. وَلَمْ يُظَاهِرُوا عَلَيْكُمْ أَحَدًا. And they have not supported anyone against you. فَأَتِمُّوا إِلَيْهِمْ أَحْدَهُمْ. This treaty is with some specified period of time. So you have to fulfill. That time must be fulfilled. أَتِمُّوا إِلَيْهِمْ أَحْدَهُمْ. Complete their period for them. إِلَى مُدَّتِهِمْ. To the period which was already decided. إِذَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those who regard Him, who are conscious of Him, who fear Him. فَإِذَنْ سَلَغَ الْأَشْهُرُ الْحُرُمُ. Now the third. People with whom there was no treaty. The third category. For them, no 4 months required. فَإِذَنْ سَلَغَ الْأَشْهُرُ الْحُرُمُ. As soon as the sacred months come to an end. And the sacred months, there were three for Hajj, Hajjul Akbar, and one for Hajjul Asghar. Rajab for Hajjul Asghar, and Zilqada, Zilhijjah, and Muharram for Hajjul Akbar. What does it mean? This proclamation is being made on the 9th and 10th of Zilhijjah. So now only 40 days. When Muharram comes to an end, Ashurul Haram finish, start. فَإِذَنْ سَلَقَ الْأَشْهُرُ الْحُرُمُ فَاقْتُلُوا الْمُشْرِكِينَ حَيْثُ وَجَدْتُمُوهُمْ وَخُذُوهُمْ وَاحْصُرُوهُمْ وَاقْعُدُوا لَهُمْ كُلَّ مَرْصَدٍ. Look to the harshness of the words. And never feel apologetic about it. If the whole people of Nuh could be eliminated in one flood, if the whole nation of Aad could be put to an end, كَالَّمْ يَغْنَوْ فِيهَا. If the whole cities of Sodom and Gomorrah could be destroyed, that this has been the rule with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To whichever nation a messenger was sent, وَمَا كُنَّا مُعَذِّبِينَ حَتَّى نَبْعَثَ رَسُولًا. Rasul sent, he conveyed the message, he made everything clear, no place of any doubt. Even if now they don't accept, they deserve no mercy of Allah. They are just like the garbage to be burned. This earth should be cleared of them. The same was the case for these people. Muhammad was from among themselves. Minkum huwa alladhi ba'atha fil ummiyina rasulan minhum. So no leniency. Faizan salakha al-ashhurul hurum. No sooner than these sacred months come to an end, فَقْتُلُوا الْمُشْرِكِينَ حَيْسُ وَجَدْتُمُوهُمْ. Start killing these mushrikeen, wherever you find them. خُذُوهُمْ. Seize them, arrest them. وَحْصُرُوهُمْ. Besiege them. وَقْعُدُوا لَهُمْ كُلَّ مَرْصَدٍ. And sit in wait for them in every place of ambush. فَإِنْ تَابُوا وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ. Now if they repent, if they turn to Allah, and what are the two signs? Salah and Zakah. Wa aqamu salata wa atamu zakata. If they establish prayer and agree to pay Zakah, fakhallu sabilahum. Now you let them go. Inna Allah ghafoorun raheem. Verily Allah is ghafoorun raheem. Forgiving and merciful. Now this point is also very important. Because Hazrat Abu Bakr argued on the basis of this ayah. There is another ayah also which will be coming very soon. When in his days of caliphate, some tribes said, we shall not pay you the zakah. He decided to fight against them. There was some advice from sincere people. Even Hazrat Umar, radiallahu ta'ala, although he is ashadduhum fi amrillah, Umar. But he only, you know, he advised. The conditions are not favorable. Number one, the Prophet has just died. The hearts of Muslims are bleeding. Their morale is down. Then you have decided to send the army under Osama ibn Zayd. Okay. You say because the Prophet had decided it, I'm not going to stop it. It has to go. Then these people who are claiming to be prophets, they are clear apostates, murtad. We have to fight against them. Now don't open another front. Because these people at least, they have not believed in any new prophet. And let it be known, they didn't say we will not pay zakah. They said we will not pay zakah to you. We shall manage ourselves. تُوْخَدُ مِنْ أَغْنِيَائِهِمْ وَتُرَدُّ إِلَىٰ فُقَرَائِهِمْ We can do it ourselves. Each tribe can do it. Collect your own zakah themselves and then distribute among the poor of the same tribe. We are not going to pay it to you. So be lenient. That was the advice. But Hazrat Abu Bakr argued from this that the minimum conditions at which the mushrikeen could be let go are three. يَشْهَدُوا أَلَّا إِلَهِ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدَ رَسُولُ اللَّهُ وَيُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَيُؤْتُوا الزَّكَاةَ I cannot accept anything less than that. No revisionism. Very beautiful word he uttered. أَيُبَدَّلُ الدِّينِ وَأَنَا حَيٌّ Will the deen be changed and I am still living? If nobody is going ready to go to fight them, I'll go alone. Anyhow, this ayah is important in that matter. وَإِنْ أَحَدٌ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ اسْتَجَارَكَ فَأَجِرْهُ حَتَّى يَسْمَعَ كَلَامَ اللَّهِ And if some of these mushrikeen, these unbelievers, these associators, they want your protection, you give them the protection until they come to you and listen to the ayat of Allah. حَتَّى يَسْمَعَ كَلَامَ اللَّهِ Now one is an ultimatum was given to the, all the tribes of the Arabian Peninsula. It was a very big event. Maybe some of the tribes had not, up till that time, even considered. What is this da'wah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What is calling? But now there was an ultimatum. So naturally there could be a possibility. They wanted to know, what is your deen? So if they want to come to you, you grant them protection. وَإِنْ أَحَدٌ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ اسْتَجَارَكَ فَاجِرْهُ حَتَّى يَسْمَعَ كَلَامَ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ أَبْلِغْهُ مَا مَنَا And then you transport him to his place of peace. Not now decide whether you accept or not here and now. Accept here or you will be just finished here. No. They had come to know, to listen to the words of Allah, to the revelations. Now when you have done duty, let them go. And transport them to their places of peace. And then you, when the ultimatum time is finished, then you can do whatever you like. So these are the six most profound ayat of the Quran. And because the harshness in them, because of that, ayat of Bismillah is neither read nor written in the beginning of this surah. Because Bismillah contains two names of Allah, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. And this surah, according to the words of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, it came down with a sword in its hand. That's why it has another name also. Al-Fazi'ah, Al-Mufzi'ah, the humiliator. This ultimatum was a big ultimatum. There is no concession for you. But what happened actually, not a single person was murdered on this account. All accepted. Or some of them left the Arabian Peninsula. Son of Abu Jahl, Ikramah, was also one of them. He was also going, making hijrah in the way of his own deen. But it is a long incident. He came back. And there is a community, let me mention here, in Afghanistan. They claim to be descendants of those people who ran away from the Arabian Peninsula after this ultimatum. They are living in Nuristan. This community is divided into two parts. One part is in Pakistan, and they are still Kafirs, and that region is called Kafiristan. and it's being preserved as such. The other people, they had migrated to Afghanistan, and there, you know, Amir Dost Muhammad, he gave them an ultimatum, either you accept Islam or you'll be killed. So they accepted Islam. So the same community divided into two parts. In Pakistan, they are Kafiristan, near Chitral. And in Afghanistan, the adjoining area, now they have an Islamic state, small, tiny Islamic state. A few hundred thousand people, not more. But they claim, we are Parsi. We are the progeny of those who fled. And just as you know, the flood of the victories of Islamic armies were proceeding, we were also going farther and farther away, till reached here, our fathers, you know, and we settled here in the mountains. So that was a safe place for us. This is what they say. I can't say whether the claim is correct or not. Now this, from Ayah 7 to Ayah 24, and most of the modern Mufassireen have committed blunders regarding these ayat. Couldn't understand. And this is because they couldn't know that these ayat were revealed more than a year before these ayat. Ayat number 1 to 6 and then 25 to 37. They were revealed 1 to 6 and 25 to 37 revealed in the Zilqa'dah of 9th year of Hijri calendar. But these ayat which we will be reading now, they were revealed a year and a quarter before the victory of Makkah. And what was the background? When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was planning the final assault on Makkah, there was a difference of opinion among Muslims. There were munafiqeen also. It was a disease with them. Now you are going to fight Quraysh. What has happened to you? You have gone crazy. وَرَّهَا أُولَٰئِ دِينُهُمْ. Read that ayah. Last night. Their deen has made them crazy. Number two, some of the sincere Muslims also, they had some considerations. After all, they are custodians of Makkah. They are custodians of Kaaba. They serve the pilgrims. They arrange water for them. They are managing the house of Allah. So, we shouldn't go and attack them. And second consideration, families of some of the Muslims were still there. What will happen to them? They are fighting, you know. Maybe it goes up to a street fighting, house to house fighting. What will happen? So there was a strong opinion that we shouldn't do it. Just as you know, some people didn't want to go to Badr. They wanted to go to the caravan, not to confront the army. In the same way, there were people who thought it's no good. Why not go on preaching and preaching and preaching and everything would be okay? Why to take this harsh step? And especially against the custodians of Kaaba. So this is the background in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is criticizing them. What has happened to you? What are these thoughts? كيف يكون للمشركين عهد عند الله وعند رسوله إلا الذين عاهدتم من المسجد الحرام. How can there be a treaty with Allah and His Messenger for the mushrikeen? There cannot be a permanent treaty. The truth and the falsehood cannot coexist. This coexistence is nonsense. باطل دوئی پسند ہے حق لا شریک ہے شرکت میں آنا ہے حق و باطل نہ کر قبول. So there cannot be any permanent covenant between mushrikeen and muwahideen. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ عَاهَدْتُمْ عِنْدَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ. Except those with whom you made and concluded a treaty near the sacred mosque. That is the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. Actually, you made a treaty. فَمَسْتَقَامُوا لَكُمْ فَاسْتَقِيمُوا لَكُمْ. So long as they stand true to you, you also stand true to them. But if they break the treaty, the blame is on them, not on you. They have broken the treaty. The treaty of Hudaybiyah was broken from their side, not from Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. كَيْفَ وَإِنْ يَظْهَرُوا عَلَيْكُمْ. How? Just imagine what you are thinking, O Muslims. And if they prevail upon you, لَا يَرْقُبُوا فِيكُمْ إِلَّمْ وَلَا ذِمَّةً. They will not respect or regard about you. neither of any relationship nor of any treaty. Yurdunakum bi afwahihim, they want to please you only through their mouths, through their words. Wataba qulubuhum, their hearts refuse. Aksaruhum fasiqun, and most of them are transgressors. Ishtaraw bi ayatillahi samanan khalila, they purchased or accepted, bartered the ayat of Allah, the revelations of Allah, for a very small price. Quran was revealed, 2/3 of it, in Makkah. These are the people who didn't accept. They sold the ayat of Allah for some very trivial gains. Their position, their political ascendancy, that's all, whatever. Fasaddu an sabilillah. So they held back from the path of Allah, and they stopped others also from the path of Allah. I told you, sadda yasuddu has both the meanings. To yourself hold back, or to stop and bar others. Innahu sa ma kanu ya'malun. Verily, whatever they are doing, it's very evil. So don't hesitate. Go ahead. لا يرقبون في مؤمن إلا ولا ذمة وأولئك هم المعتدون. Again, repeat, repetition. They never respect, never regard concerning any mu'min, neither the bond of relationship nor the bond of any treaty or covenant. They are the transgressors. فَإِن تَابُوا, again the same ayah. فَإِن تَابُوا أَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَوُوا الزَّكَاةَ فَإِخْوَانُكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ. But if they repent, if they turn towards Allah, if they mend their ways, and they establish salah, pay zakah, then they are your brothers indeed. Even now, the gate is open for them. It has not been closed. It will be closed a year later. The ayat which we have already read, the door will be closed. But even then, they could do. They could accept Islam. فَإِنْ تَعْبُوا وَقَامُوا صَلَاةَ وَآتَبُوا الزَّكَاةَ فَإِخْوَانُكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ وَنُفَصِّلُ الْآيَاتِ لِقَوْمٍ يَعْلَمُونَ. And we explain our revelations for those who have the knowledge. وَإِنْ نَكَسُوا أَيْمَانَهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ أَهْدِهِمْ. And if they have broken their oaths after their conclusion, مِنْ بَعْدِ أَهْدِهِمْ وَتَعَنُوا فِي دِينِكُمْ, and they attack your deen, فَقَاتِلُوا أَيْمَّةَ الْكُفْرِ. Now this word is very important. أَيْمَّةَ الْكُفْرِ. As I told you, there was no formal government, no headquarter of any government. But the أَيْمَّةَ of the Arabian Peninsula lived in Makkah. So your mission, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you must also understand, those who believe in Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his mission will not be accomplished until Makkah is cleared of shirk and kufr, and the deen of Allah is made supreme over there. فَقَاتِلُوا أَيْمَّةَ الْكُفْرِ. They are the أَيْمَّةُ الْكُفْرِ. They are the custodians of Kaaba. But actually, they are the أَيْمَّةُ الْكُفْرِ. إِنَّهُمْ لَا إِيمَانَ لَهُمْ. They have no oaths. Their oaths cannot be trusted. إِنَّهُمْ لَا إِمَانَ لَهُمْ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَنْتَهُونَ. You go, advance, and pose a threat, maybe they desist. أَلَا تُقَاتِلُونَ قَوْمًا نَكَسُوا إِمَانَهُمْ. And see the exhortation. Oh, Muslims, you don't want to fight those who broke their pledge, broke their treaty. وَهَمُّوا بِإِخْرَاجِ الرُّسُولِ. And they are the people who decided to expel Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the messenger of Allah. وَهُمْ بَدَوُوكُمْ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ. And they started. They were the first. And they were the first actually in two ways. Persecution, they started at Makkah. Definitely. They started the persecution. And Muslims, they took the persecution for 12 long years without any retaliation. Number two, a planned attack of an army, organized army, which was coming over to attack Medina. That was for the first time from their side at Badr. هُمْ بَدَوْكُمْ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ أَتَخْشَوْنَهُمْ. Now this is the piercing eyes asking a penetrating question. What has happened to you, O Muslims? You are hesitating. from attacking Mecca. أَتَخْشَوْنَهُمْ Do you fear them? فَاللَّهُ أَحَقُّ أَن تَخْشَوْهُ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمَنِينَ Allah has greater right that you must fear Him if you are real mu'min, if you really believe in Him. فَلَا تَخْشَوْهُمْ وَخْشَوْنِي Don't fear them, fear me. قَاتِلُوهُمْ يُعَذِّبُهُمُ اللَّهُ بِأَيْدِيكُمْ Fight against them. Allah will chastise them, punish them. بِأَيْدِيكُمْ At your hands. وَيُخْذِهِمْ And He will humiliate him. وَيَنْصُرْكُمْ And He will help you, عَلَيْهِمْ Against them. وَيَشْفِ صُدُورَ قَوْمِ مُؤْمِنِينَ And He will relieve the hearts of the believing people. What was the relief? وَيُزْهِبَ غَيْظَ قُلُوبِهِمْ And He will take from their hearts the rage. There were Muslims, weak Muslims, who couldn't migrate. They were still being persecuted over there. With wounded hearts. So they had all the emotions against the kuffar. وَالْمُسْتَضْعَفِينَ مِنَ الرِّجَالِ وَالنِّسَاءِ وَالْوِلْدَانِ وَالَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا أَخْرِجْنَا مِنْ هَذِهِ الْقَرْيَةِ الظَّالِمِ أَهْلُهَا وَاجْعَلْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ وَلِيًّا وَاجْعَلْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ نَصِيرًا They were people over there. So you know their hearts are bleeding. They have all the feelings against these people. You don't want to go against them, fight against them. Allah wants that He wants to give the relief to these people and the rage of their hearts. وَيَتُوبَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ مَنْ يَشَاءُ And Allah will accept repentance whosoever He likes. وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ حَكِيمٌ And Allah is all-knowing, all-wise. أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَن تُتْرَكُوا وَلَمَّا يَعْلَمِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا مِنْكُمْ وَلَمْ يَتَّخِذُوا مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ وَلَا رَسُولِهِ وَلَا الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَلِيجَةً Did you think that you will be left alone? And up till now, Allah has not seen who amongst you are ready to make jihad for the cause of Allah. And who are those who didn't take anybody except Allah and His Messenger and Mu'mineen? A friend, a trusted friend. We read the ayah in Suratul Ma'idah. إِنَّمَا وَلِيُّكُمُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا Again, وَمَنْ يَتَوَلُّ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فَإِنَّ حِزْبَ اللَّهِ هُمُ الْفَائِزُونَ So now this is a test. Although they are your relatives, they are sitting over there. You don't want that any harm should come to them. But this is the test. If they have not accepted Islam, if they rejected Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you shouldn't have any soft corner in your hearts about them. وَاللَّهُ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ Allah very well knows what you are doing. مَا كَانَ لِلْمُشْرِكِينَ يَعْمُرُوا مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ شَاهِدِينَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ بِالْكُفْرِ These mushrikeen have no right to inhabit the places of the worship of Allah. When they are testifying against their own selves that they are kafirs, they say, we don't believe, we reject the faith. Even then, they should inhabit Mecca. They should be the custodians of Kaaba. How are you ready to reconcile to it? مَا كَانَ لِلْمُشْرِكِينَ يَعْمُرُوا مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ شَاهِدِينَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ بِالْكُفْرِ أُولَٰئِكَ حَبِطَتْ أَعْمَالُهُمْ These are the people that all good deeds of theirs have gone in vain, disappeared. They have been looking after Kaaba, no doubt. They have been serving the pilgrims who come over there. No doubt, all these things were good. They go to their credit. But all their credit has been multiplied by zero and became zero because they rejected the faith. وَفِي النَّارِهُمْ خَالِدُونَ And they are going to dwell in the fire forever. إِنَّمَا يَعْمُرُوا مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ Only those people who believe in Allah and the last day, وَقَامَ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَ الزَّكَاةَ and establish prayer and paid zakah, they are entitled to it, that they should inhabit the places of the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَمْ يَخْشَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ Another quality of theirs is that he doesn't fear anybody except Allah. فَعَسَىٰ أُولَٰئِكَ أَن يَكُونُوا مِنَ الْمُهْتَدِينَ So it's hoped that such people will become from among the rightly guided. اجعل تم سقایت الحاج و عمارت المسجد الحرام کا منامنا باللہ والیوم الاخر، ہیو یو کنسیڈرڈ گیونگ آف ڈرنک ٹو دی پلگرمز اور لکنگ آفٹر اور مینیجنگ دی افیئرز آف دی سیکرڈ ماسک ایکول ٹو دی پرسن ہو ہیز بلیف ان اللہ اینڈ دی لاسٹ ڈے اینڈ ہو ہیز بین میکنگ جہاد فار دی کاز آف اللہ؟ لا يستوون عند الله، these things are not equal. They are not equal in the eyes of Allah. They might be the custodians, but they've lost all their credit. وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الظَّالِمِينَ. Allah is not going to forcibly guide these people who are the evil doers. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَهَاجَرُوا وَجَادُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ بِأَمْوَالِهِمْ وَأَنفُسِهِمْ أَعْظَمُ دَرَجَةً عِندَ اللَّهِ. Those who came to believe, then they made hijrah, immigrated, and they made jihad, strived to their utmost in the way of Allah with their belongings and their lives. Azamu darajatan indallah. They are very much higher up in ranks in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa ulaika humul faizun. And actually, they who are going to be successful, triumphers, yubashshiruhum rabbuhum bi rahmatin minhu. Their Lord gives them the glad tidings. Bi rahmatin minhu, that they will have mercy from him, wa rizwanin, and he will be pleased with them, wa jannatin lahum fiha na'imun muqim, and the garden in which they will have all the lasting bliss. Khalidina fiha abada, they will remain in that forever, forever. Inna Allaha indahu ajrun azim. Verily, only with Allah is the great reward. يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تتخذوا آباءكم وإخوانكم أولياء إن استحبوا الكفر على الإيمان. Oh, you who believe, don't take even your fathers or your brothers as friends or protectors. إن استحبوا الكفر على الإيمان. If they have preferred kufr to iman, they might be your fathers, they might be your sons, they might be your brothers. And now the sword of Islam has cut these relations. If they loved and preferred to remain in kufr, you have no connection with them. All your relations, gone. Very stern guy. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَتَّخِذُوا آبَاءَكُمْ وَإِخْوَانَكُمْ أَوْلِيَاءَ إِنِ اسْتَحَبُّوا الْكُفْرَ عَلَى الْإِيمَانِ وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّهُمْ مِنْكُمْ فَأُولَئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. And whosoever from amongst you makes friendship with them, thinks them to be your protector, or tries to protect him, فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. And they are also among the evil doers. بارك الله لي ولكم في القرآن العظيم ونفعني وإياكم بالآيات والذكر الحكيم.